Father, I thank you tonight, and I praise you, and I give you honor, I give you glory. We are gathered here tonight, Father God, because you ask us to. There's many in here that have needs tonight, Father, and I'm asking you to meet them. Let your holy angelic host be walking to and fro throughout these chairs, meeting the needs tonight. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon us, Father God, and change us and rearrange us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about the accusing spirit, which is the voice of condemnation. Revelation 2:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which has accused them before our God day and night. A couple years ago, God gave me the scripture, and he said, it's happening right now. So the accuser of the brother is down here amongst us. And he's doing his job well. Amen. There is another one of those common tactics of the enemy that we see literally all the time in the ministry of deliverance. The accusing spirit. The accusing spirit is an antichrist spirit because it approaches people with no love, but a tone of condemnation. It works through a voice, the voice of condemnation. It constantly tells you how much of a failure you are. It tells you how your heart is not right with God. It tells you that if you don't read your Bible every day, that you aren't serious about your relationship with God. It basically tells you that you're never good enough. This is the exact opposite nature of God. It tears down rather than builds up. The accusing spirit uses the letter of the law to lay heavy burdens and crush its victims just as the Pharisees would do. In Matthew 23:4, the Pharisees said, this is about the Pharisees, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know, I studied much today, and as I studied, I thought, yeah, you have to really watch how you present the true word of God, because the church is not ready yet to hear the true word of God. And they'll take it and they'll say, well, you preached about me, and you did this, you did that, and it's just the truth. In fact, I read two other sermons that two other pastors had written, and they twisted the word to keep the people happy. And I thought, how sad. How sad you would do that. I'm not going to twist the word. An evangelist prophet's job is to give the word. And you're supposed to take the word that's given, and you're supposed to grow from it. Not sit around and pout over it. All right? 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You have to be watchful too whenever you're reading the word and you're teaching the word, because people say, oh, that's just the opposite of what you just said. And it really isn't just the opposite. It's just written a different way, that's all. We have to follow the law of God. John 1, that's why I have a trouble when I listen to a lot of grace preachers. They really twist grace, and they use it to make people believe they can sin and God's grace is there. And God's grace is always there, but there comes a time when God said, now stop it. Because he's even told us, I'm going to lift my grace from the body. John 1, chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the accusing spirit works hand in hand with the family of religious spirits and strongholds, including legalism. All right. The accusing spirit works hand in hand with this family of religious spirits and strongholds, including legalism. If we would just take the word for what it really says, like little children, and quit trying to dissect it, we would be happier Christians. Just get out of sin and just follow the word. Yeah, that's all it really takes. We would stop all this junk, false prophets and false teachers, you know, and false doctrine. We'd stop all that stuff. The accusing spirit will manifest in a variety of ways. It can accuse a person directly. It can cause them to accuse others around them, or it can accuse God in a person's mind. Let's read that again. The accusing spirit will manifest in a variety of ways. It can accuse a person directly. It can cause them to accuse others around them, or it can accuse God in a person's mind. Anytime the enemy brings up your past failures, that is the work of the accusing spirit. This spirit feeds on past mistakes. This spirit feeds on past mistakes. In order to justify how that person is supposedly a failure, even though the blood of Christ has washed away those failures and cast them into the depths of the sea. In this way, the accusing spirit is an antichrist spirit, because it deliberately writes off the work of Christ and the shed blood of Christ. Zephaniah 3:17 says, The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. See, so if you listen to all this junk that the enemy's telling you, then you're not believing this. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, you either believe Zephaniah 3:17, which is God's word, or you believe that accusing spirit that comes to accuse you day and night. We need to learn how to discern condemnation versus conviction. Who speaks the voice of condemnation? It's the accusing spirit. I always tell y'all, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just let it go. So in other words, if I'm preaching something and it makes your shoes real tight on your feet, then don't get upset about it. Just ask God to help you with that area of your life. And if it doesn't make your, it makes your shoes loose, then say, thank God I'm not there anymore. Right? Even when the accusing spirit seems to be pointing to the answer, the burden that it lays on the person is overwhelming or irrational. For example, it may tell a person that they must go back to everybody that they have ever wronged and apologize. Then they can be forgiven. That is not only unbiblical, that is salvation by works. And God's word tells us that if we try to be made right by works, then we have fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now, when we preach about forgiveness, we tell you that if you have people you have not forgiven, you must forgive them. And if you want to go to them and tell them, you know, ask them for your forgiveness, fine. If not, then just forgive, go to the Father, forgive them, and let it go. That person will know whether or not you ever forgave them. Come on. We don't have to write a book about it. We don't have to put it on TV, right? You know, I can guarantee you, a lot of us sitting in here, we have done things to people that caused them hurt. And we didn't realize we even did it. So, you know, I always just go to God and say, whatever, my sins known and unknown, you know. Because we do a lot of things that we don't even mean to do it. You know, we're just supposedly just in a group, just talking, having a good time, and somebody overhears or somebody does hear right from your mouth something and say, do you know what they said? And from the time it left their mouth or the time it got your ear, Satan got in there and twisted that thing. Right? And you didn't really hear what you thought you heard. So that comes under being offended, though. There's a whole lot you can teach on offense. The accusing spirit wants us to fall from grace. He wants us to stop trusting God's mercy and grace for our salvation and justification. As we said earlier, the accusing spirit is a voice. If it speaks to us, it may even sound righteous because it speaks of how failures are bad. It's true that failures are bad, but what Christ has done for us is the remedy to our failures. What the accusing spirit wants us to do is overlook or even discredit God's remedy for our failures. How many people walk away from God saying, God can't forgive me? Sound like a satanic mission? It sure is. This spirit has all the makings of being righteous, even a minister of righteousness, but inside is a raving wolf seeking whom he may devour. He's busy carrying out the work of his father, the devil. You know, David sinned more than once. We know he only did, every time he sinned, he only did that sin one time. He asked God to forgive him and you know, repented and went on. Now, I read an article today where it said that David was a continual sinner, but yet God would, how did he put that? Well, anyhow, they were saying that you could just go ahead and continue to sin all you want and repent. You know, continue one sin after another and repent and everything's going to be fine. And that's not true. Then they'd use David because, you know, David wrote all the Psalms and everything. But that isn't really what David did. And this was a sermon that somebody wrote, you know, preached over the pulpit. And I'm thinking, you just give these people a license to sin. Come on. I don't know how old David was, but if I read about his sins, they weren't that many, you know? And every one of us sitting here tonight, we are going to sin in one way or another. We sin in many, many ways. Just like when God told me with my doubt and unbelief, I found this out today too, my doubt and unbelief, he was going to move my candlestick, and I found out today that the candlestick is the presence of God. So, see how serious that is. Don't ever have God come and tell you if you don't get out of him, he's going to remove your candlesticks. So what he's saying to you, I'm going to remove my presence from you. All right? I was reading about the golden candlestick and, you know, the shewbread and all that. All right, 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his masters also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It tells us right there that you have false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. You have to be careful of what's going on around about you in the body of Christ. And you have to be walking in the Spirit so you know what is of God and what is not of God. People, please don't walk around in deception. Keep your spiritual antennas up and know who is of God and who is not. Now, if you know somebody's not of God, you don't kick them out. What do? We pray for them, right? Send angels to watch over them. And then just watch God transform them. because if somebody is a false prophet, walking in darkness, they have a problem, right? Demonic spirits, binding them up. And until they have a deliverance or being set free, they're going to do that, not knowing that what they're even doing. They believe they're right. Isn't that right? So that's why we shouldn't be judging at the outward appearance. But we should be seeking God's face and finding out what's really going on inside that person. All right? Now, since the Antichrist has been here for a couple of years now, that scripture we read in Revelation, and the false prophets and the false teachers are on the scene, everybody in this room has to understand what walking in the Spirit's all about. and you need to not get all caught up in ho, 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 you know, it's just so much fun and we're just dancing and yelling, do that. Get caught up in the spirit, dance and laugh and sing, but also be aware of what's going on around about you. Don't be a person that you can only focus on one thing at one time. Come on, you can still be in the spirit, dancing and singing, and know what's going on around about you. You can feel when heaviness comes around about you. Right? Now, whenever you start working with the world, the devil's going to be in some of those people. I mean, but what I'm saying is a satanic force is sent from hell itself as false prophets. How many people have you done deliverance on? They say, I can speak in tongues. I can tell you all about your life. Well, yes, they're telling you the truth, but it is not God. Right? When we first started doing deliverances, we were told that no devil could speak in tongues. But we found out as we did deliverances, this is way back years ago, that they spoke in tongues. And I told the pastors, I said, well, you know, when we do deliverance, them devils, no, that wasn't the devil, that was that person. See, you don't know what you're doing deliverance. No, it was the devil speaking in tongues. And they always told you if a demon can't say Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, they can say Jesus Christ is Lord better than some Christians can. Amen? So see, pastors don't even know what's right and what's wrong. So you have to yourself be a person that has fellowship with the Father, and he can tell you himself what is the truth. All right? Now, you can get to know the voice of God so well that you'll know when it's the enemy. Isn't the word of God said, my sheep know my voice, and my voice will they follow. The devil will always do something that just lets you know that's not God's voice. One time I was asking God about something and I heard, oh, come on, daughter, just go ahead and do it. And I thought, God wouldn't talk to me like that. He just wouldn't. And you know, it was the enemy. So, see, you have to know. And, you know, it was really something I wanted to do. And so I could have just went ahead and said, well, okay, yeah, I got permission from God, but I knew that was not God saying it. He doesn't talk. You know, God probably talks to you differently than he does me, but I know how he talks to me, and he doesn't talk that way. So I'm not telling you that you don't know if you hear God's voice. I'm saying you have to know how God talks to you, all right? You know, some of you might, he might have to talk silly with you because you're a silly person. You like silly things, you know? But he knows that I have to be talked to straight. Don't try to hide anything. Don't try to butter it over. Just tell me the truth, right? And so whenever that voice says, oh, go ahead, daughter, go ahead and do it. No, he wouldn't have said that. Sorry. The entire motivation behind this ugly demon spirit is to discredit the work of Christ in our lives. And Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I put this scripture here because we're talking about this Antichrist spirit that's trying to get you to believe that you don't belong to God. All right. So it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I don't care what the devil's telling me. I don't care what he's accusing me of. I'm going to listen to this scripture and I'm going to run that race that's set before me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Do you see that? Who for the joy that was set before him. Now, how many of us in here tonight would find joy in what he had to go through? So it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross with joy, it's saying, right? Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father of God. Somewhere along his path, Jesus learned the true meaning of joy. Now, he was a human being. You know, he was a man. So he knew, found out the true meaning of joy. And so he felt a joy to be beat. We think you lost your mind. But he had joy in getting the whipping and everything and going to the cross for you and I so that one day we can end up in heavenly places. Right? So anytime an accusing spirit comes, you makes you think that you're never going to be anything. You just tell him, nope. Jesus, with great joy, endured the cross just for me, and I'm free. Come on. We failed, Jesus forgave. But this spirit keeps pointing to the mistake, as if Christ did nothing to erase it. That's totally satanic. John 10:10-11 says, the thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. They call pastors shepherds, but I don't think they should do that. It says here, Jesus says here, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Pastors get annoyed if you bother them too much. Yeah, I'm just saying, they give titles around here like it's, I don't know what. And they shouldn't do that. And God said he doesn't even like titles. So I'm going to be the pastor of the church and you're going to give me sheep, Father, and I'm going to be the good shepherd. Well, then be there. Come on, be there. When they're hurting, when they're crying, when they're in the hospital, whatever, be there for them. Be there for them, even though they just did the worst thing in the world. Be there for them to pick them up and not to push them down. Come on. The fruit of the accusing spirit is widely varied. Self-hate almost always involves the accusing spirit. Guilt and fear resulting from guilt. When you feel ashamed, you'll be afraid like Adam and Eve were when guilt drove them to hide from God. Doubt, unbelief, hate, judgmentalism, critical spirit, resentment towards God, feelings of hopelessness, shame, and so on. The list goes on and on and on. So I said self-hate almost always involves the accusing spirit. All right. How many people have you guys done deliverance on that really don't like theirself? And when you get that, then the spirit has them bound really tight. How many people have you done deliverance on that people can't forgive themselves for how they hurt other people? You know. It's all demonic. And we have to set the captives free because that's what we've been commissioned to do, right? And it doesn't matter how much the accusing spirit comes and comes and comes and comes. We have to stay with those people and work with those people until they understand Jesus Christ died for their sin. And the blood that he shed cleansed them from all unrighteousness. You know, look around, guys. Everybody in here has done something really bad they wish they had never done. We cannot go back and erase the past. We just cannot. As much as we'd like to, we cannot. So we have to forget the past and move on. I know that you've hurt people in your whatever you've done. I hurt people because of my wrong decision to get married the first time. But we can't die with that. We have to thank God for his grace and his mercy. We have to thank God he was with us even in the sin. My disobedience, you know, I'm not listening to the voice. I didn't understand. And then we go on. I told my husband, I said, do you know how I don't feel worthy to go there and preach? Because the kids were a mess today. I said, I don't even feel worthy to go there and preach. I said, I feel like right now I feel unsaved. I feel like a heathen. Have you ever felt like that? And then you have to go in the house of God and do something for God. Well, when do you think the enemy's going to attack you? Service night. We'll be at this, 15 days? So 15 days we're being attacked. And see, whenever we're not having revival, we just get attacked twice a week. Sundays and Wednesdays, and all the rest of the time we sort of get a chance to breathe. Isn't that true? But see, we're in revival, so he's hitting us hard every day. He's upset with us. He's attacking everybody in this church. Come on. The accuser of the brethren. Who do you think was telling me, you're going to get down there and preach tonight? You little heathen, you. And I believed it. I told Larry, I said, I'm a heathen right now. I said, I don't think I'm even saved. I've lost all my salvation with these kids today. Well, you all have felt like that too, haven't you? You felt you have to go to church. You say, oh, you walk through the door, you shake somebody, you say, oh, geez, what have I done? Look what I did today. But I prayed, got under the blood, and here I am. You prayed, got under the blood, and here you are, right? We can't let the accuser of their brethren keep us down. So here I am teaching about the accuser of their brethren, and he worked on me overtime tonight before I got here. See? Come on. That's the way he works. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. All right? It's like Sister Tree said, you want us to sing what? Well, I said to God, you want me to get down there and do what tonight? You know? Come on. So what I'm telling you all this so you know, don't give in to the enemy. Don't give in to the accuser of the brethren. You're still saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope. I felt like I lost all that too. You know? But it's still there. God's still there. The blood of Jesus is still there to cleanse. So we move on. We keep on going. I think we're in a boxing ring, aren't we? And see, the devil was trying to win that round. And I said, well, I'm going to get dressed and go anyhow. So he lost that round, right? So every time you stand up and you go and do what you're going to do for God, he loses a round. But whenever you sit down and say, well, I don't feel worthy tonight, then he's just won that round. Why do we let him win any rounds? We should never. We should never. What does the accusing spirit really want to do? Tear apart your faith and wear you down spiritually. Read that again. What does the accusing spirit really want to do? Tear apart your faith and wear you down spiritually. He wants you to walk in guilt, condemnation, and never feel worthy of God's glorious plan for your life. That's just what I went through right before I got here. Amen. Its goal is to wear you down and make you weak as a child of God. The accusing spirit thrives on repeated failures or bondages or iniquities. The accusing spirit thrives on repeated failures or bondages or iniquities. You know, guys, if you've done something really bad before, I don't know why God wants me to go back to this, but if you've done something really bad before you got saved, forget it. Just forget it. Move on and forget it. You just don't know how bad. Well, you know, God does. And it's God telling me to tell you, move on. It's done. It's over with. That's going to be part of your testimony anyhow. It's going to be part of your testimony one day. And you'll be able to, somebody else is going to be in the very same boat that you were in. And you're going to say, hey, guess what? I was there one time too. And look what God, he brought me out. And that's going to be an encouragement to somebody that you're talking to. Amen. You all stand up and I'll tell all the things that Brother Brett's been in. They go, that's what they do, Brother Brett. We're not ashamed of what we used to. We're not proud of it. But we're not going to hide it and make everybody believe that they can't attain to where we're at. And when they find out, hey, you were a drug addict too? And look what you're doing for God. Well, I can do it too. Come on. Do you know how many women I've had say to me, you know, I'm so glad you share your personal life because it really helps me to go on. And a lot of people say, you need to keep your mouth shut and quit telling. But I can't help it. God just opens up now to comes, you know. You know, if the body of Christ was real, they would be saved. But there's too many people in the body of Christ pretending. And the enemy's taken them out. Because when you pretend, there's always something in your closet. Something that the enemy can use against you. But you, when you're real and when you're transparent, you're open, there's nothing that the enemy can come at you with. The enemy said to me one day, I don't have anything on you, but I know about your mother. I said, shut up. My mother had nothing to do with this. Remember that deliverance? It's nice when they don't have anything on you. And boy, I'm making sure they never do either. Amen? So what we do is we don't pretend, okay, so this is what I am, this is what I've done, and this is where God's brought me to, and I'm happy. I'm not happy for the hurt I might have caused somebody, but I'm happy that I am free. I'm happy that the blood of Jesus Christ set me free. And I'm glad that I serve God. Amen? Come on there. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you have a lot of condemnation, well, I think I covered that, so I'll just keep going. Pornography or lust, for example, is a perfect example. A person can keep failing, but have their heart right before the Lord. I've watched a lot. You know, I didn't used to believe that. I'd smack you and say, get yourself together. But then whenever God put me smack dab in the middle of it, I found out, nope, you can't smack them and get it together because they're in deep bondage and you have to do deliverance on them. It's probably why we started out doing deliverance from the very get-go. Because God knew what kind of people he was going to. He said he's going to send in here the people like David had. And they were all a mess. But David made warriors out of them. Amen. And, you know, and God also told me he was going to send people in here that nobody else wanted to work with. So, here we are. Happy campers. Working together, loving each other, right? Come on. Showing the love and the grace of God to each other, right? We all need it. Every one of us in here need it. There isn't one of us that doesn't. And we need to be comfortable in the fact, hey, if I mess up, they're not going to throw me out. They're going to love me and they're going to see me through this thing. Right? We have to have that calm assurance that this really is a hospital. And we're not Kent General, but we are a hospital. And we don't make you come here and set for 3 years before we do a deliverance on you. As soon as you walk through the door, we say, here's our list, sign up for a deliverance. Yeah, we're going to cure you right away, you know. Oh, I have a demon. Well, we will find out. Isn't that what you tell them? Doesn't hurt to try. If it's not there, you can sing hallelujah all the rest of your life. If it is, you'll be free. I remember when I first told this staff, everybody in here has to have a deliverance. What? Want me to go through a deliverance? Yes. And they were so shocked at what they found. You know? See, sometimes you can't see your own flaws. Amen? Sometimes it takes somebody else to see you for what you really are. And that's a troubled person inside. You know, that's why people act the way they do. They're hurting inside. I know when I went through my anger spell, I was hurting inside. And I don't care how much I fought it, until I got that hurt and take care of it, you know, I was still angry. You understand? And, you know, don't be ashamed that you're angry. Don't be ashamed or whatever you're going through. Say, hey, guys, I need your love. I need your attention. I need your prayers. I need help. And if you don't help me, I'm going under. I'm going under because I've tried to fight this myself and it isn't working. But we're so busy pretending. Putting on that little front, that little face, that everything's just fine. And deep down inside, you're dying by the second. Right? I love it when you guys send me emails and say, I'm really hurting. It doesn't bother me. Because then I know what I have to pray for. And I'm glad you're open and honest. Well, she expects me to be perfect. No, I expect it to be imperfect. Because if you're perfect, you don't belong here. You belong in some other perfect church in heaven. You missed a little wagon that takes you to heaven. Angel, whatever it is, chariot. Amen? Come on. Lost my place here. Okay. Paul told us in Romans chapter 7 that he struggled with repeated failures in his own life. As a spirit-filled believer, a person who doesn't understand their bondage may have no clue that pornography is usually a bondage with roots that need to be ministered to. I was going to go into what Paul said, but, you know, he just, what things he wanted to do, The things he didn't want to do, he did. And the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do. And you know, isn't that how, the way we are? I'm never going to do that again. Like I said that one day, I said, I'm never going to raise my voice in Isaiah. And Teresa Ann said, how long did that last? And Jimmy laughed. He said, 2 seconds. I heard her say, Isaiah. He said, she has a certain way of saying that. But see, now that, why did I yell at him? You know, and I'm still trying not to yell at him. But, you know, it's just to get his attention, because you see how he is. He's independent. And he just keeps running on. Yeah. And I'm not going to yell at him. I'm going to be very patient, and I'm just going to long-suffering. I'm just going to be very quiet. Larry can do that. I told him today, thank you for doing that. I'm still working at it. Come on. The thing I wanted to do, I didn't do. Amen. I didn't want to yell at the poor child anymore. However, the accusing spirit is right there to tell them how dirty and sick their mind is. We get back to the pornography. This is, again, the work of the accusing spirit. The accusing spirit is a finger-pointing spirit. It is a blaming spirit that specializes in digging up the past and blaming somebody for it, and that somebody could be you, others, or God. However, the accusing spirit is right there to tell them how dirty and sick their mind is. Like the devil said to me tonight, and you're going to preach? You know? This is, again, the work of the accusing spirit. The accusing spirit is a finger-pointing spirit. It is a blaming spirit that specializes in digging up the past and blaming somebody for it, and that somebody could be you, others, or God. This is why I tell you, please don't be blaming your faults on everybody else. Does it really matter whose fault it was to begin with? You just want to get rid of it, right? You just want to get your life straight. So don't worry about who did it or who didn't do it. Just like that time God told me to apologize to my first husband. And I said, but I didn't do anything wrong. He said, it doesn't matter who did it. I'm asking you to do something for me. You know? So from that point, I didn't care who did it or who didn't do it. If you started the argument, who cares? Just quit. You know, if you didn't start the argument, who cares? Just say you're sorry and get the thing over with. Right? Why should both of you go to bed upset and lose your salvation? At least you've made it right in your heart. And if they don't want to make it right, well, then they can go to bed and lose their salvation, right? Because this, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. So you always try to make sure that everything's perfect before you go to bed, right? Okay. It works hand in hand with the critical spirit, the accusing spirit does. Or judgmentalism. The accusing spirit works hand in hand with the critical spirit or judgmentalism. I was just making sure I didn't miss a page here. My printer wasn't working right. Bottom line, the accusing spirit will always point to the problem, even if it's been washed away by the work of Christ. While the Holy Spirit will always point you to the solution. Now, you know, if it's accusing spirit, whenever it points to the problem, the Holy Spirit will always point you to the solution. If there is a case of true guilt from an unrepented sin, then once the person confesses it and is forgiven, the guilt should be an issue of the past. Come on. You know, you might have been the dirtiest, rotten sinner in the world, and you got cleaned up, but your family didn't get cleaned up yet. So every time they look at you, they're going to remember what? The past. And they're going to remind you of it. But you know what? That's the accuser of the brethren. That's the accusing spirit. And you just don't let it penetrate anywhere. See, you guys, some of you guys... Brett was rotten to the core. And he expects his mother and dad to say, oh, that's okay, son. Just because you met the Lord, that's fine. You put us through hell for all those years. And then when they don't, he says, what's their problem? Well, their problem is they're still hurt with the past, and they haven't found Jesus like you have. So he doesn't come against them. He just thanks God for God's grace. And he probably says, open up their eyes, let them see what I see, and they'll get over it. Amen? But that's the way we are. We hurt somebody to the core of their being, right? And then we say, oh, please forgive me. I really didn't mean to do that. And then you wonder why they can't get over it. Isn't that how we are? Well, you're just going to have to go ahead and love them people anyhow until they get over it. Period. Come on. I always like Joyce Myers when she tells her story about when her stepfather molested her. And she said that she had to forgive him, and she was glad she did because he became an invalid in a wheelchair, and she ended up having to take care of him in her home until he passed away. And it would have been a hard thing to do if she hadn't already forgiven him. Isn't that wonderful that she forgave him? And she had to look at this man every day and tend him every day, this man who molested her as a child, but yet it didn't bother her. I think that's wonderful. She had a pure heart, and she didn't do it begrudgingly. She did it with love. So if she did it, everybody else can do it. It's something you have to make your mind up to do. Life's choice, full of choices, right? If the person continues to struggle with guilt, then A, they have not mentally accepted the fact that their sin has been washed away, or B, the accusing spirit is at work. If the person continues to struggle with guilt, then A, they have not mentally accepted the fact that their sin has been washed away, or B, the accusing spirit is at work. Once a sin is confessed and forgiven, the Holy Spirit stops convicting. Listen to that, this guys. Once a sin is confessed and forgiven, the Holy Spirit stops convicting. But the accusing spirit doesn't stop. But it continues to badger the person over their failures. The accusing spirit will always work in conjunction with spirits of guilt, shame, condemnation, hopelessness, and so on. So once your sin is confessed and forgiven, the Holy Spirit no longer convicts you of that because it's gone. Now, if you're walking under condemnation, that thing, then this accusing spirit is at work in your life, and you have to tell him where his new residence is. Amen? And don't let it drag you down. How do we combat this deceitful spirit? For one, we need to fill our mind with the voice of God's word concerning the forgiveness of sins, God's love and mercy, and so on. We need to learn to recognize the voice of the accusing spirit and cast it down. Why can't you just say to that accusing spirit, hey, I repented, I'm forgiven, it's thrown in the sea of forgiveness, never to remember it again, so get out of here because I'm not going to remember it again either. Yeah, because that's the truth. God's word says he throws it in the sea of forgiveness, never to remember it ever again. But still, we walk around letting the accuser or the brother bring it back to our mind over and over and over again. You just don't know how bad my children treat me. Well, get over it. Because as long as you carry that around, you're never going to live a good life. You aren't. Because that thing is going to rot inside of your mind. And eventually take you to the grave. Is it really worth it? Second Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I was talking to somebody today, and they said they went to the bedroom to say their prayers, and all kind of filthy thoughts were coming through their minds, things they never think of. And they said, I had to pray. And she said, a heavy black ugliness tried to settle itself. I mean, I had to pray. See, she was casting down these imaginations. She finally got herself free where she could go ahead and finish praying. And see, this is where we fail, and when that happens, we don't do anything. We just let the things be there and we don't even pray. But fight, cast down those imaginations and these high things and this thing of Satan that he brings into you, and get him out of your life, and then pray. That's his aim anyhow. When he brings all this junk in your mind when you're trying to pray, he's trying to get you not to pray. He's trying to discourage you. Are you listening? Seeing as how this is a spirit which builds strongholds in our minds, we need to be diligent in renewing our mind with God's word in order to undo the damage that it has done to our thinking patterns. Let's say that again. Seeing as how this is a spirit which builds strongholds in our minds, we need to be diligent in renewing our mind with God's word in order to undo the damage it has done to our thinking patterns. I know God showed me, I was praying for somebody here, and they said their mind has really been damaged by the enemy. So God is going to have to get a brand new mindset. And see, guys, we have to start understanding what's going on ourselves up here. You have to know when the enemy is working overtime with your mind, and then you have to say, I need a deliverance. I need these things taken out of my mind. Amen. You might find yourself in you're feeling like a tight band going around your head. When that tight band comes, you can't even think. That's demonic. So what you do, you just go somewhere and kneel and pray and command that thing and keep commanding that thing to go until it's broken and it leaves. You know what leaves. You can do that yourself. Lay your hands on, I do it all the time. Lay your hands on your head and just command that demonic force of hell to leave you. Because it's a tight band, it's distracting, and you're trying to concentrate on God and God's word and God's work, and this tight band is causing you to think about it instead of God's word. All right? It's also possible that the accusing spirit, along with other related spirits such as religion, legalism, shame, and so on, need to be driven out as well. There are so many people walking in religion. And when we tell them you have a religious spirit, they get irate. Well, right, there's your religious spirit. We're not trying to tear anybody down. We're trying to set the captives free. And because God said religion has no place in his work, this walk anymore, it has to be spirit calling to spirit. And if you're religious, God can't use you. So all we're trying to do is help you in your walk with God. I don't care if you stay religious. I really don't. If that's what you, if you like that, that's fine. You do like you do. Tell me my own business. That's fine. But God wants us all to walk in the Spirit. And then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then the accuser, or this accusing spirit, I want to say accuser of the brethren, which it is, it won't be able to come around and harass you and torment you. I've been in church 20 years and you're telling me I'm religious. I don't care if you've been in church 120 years. You're still religious. That spirit is still there. You know, I used to always try to get this one lady to do what God wanted her to do. And she said, well, I've only been a baby Christian for 3 years. And I've only been a baby Christian for 4 years. I said, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Do this work for God. You know? So she was using the excuse of being new. I mean, 3 and 4 years is a long time. You know, because she just didn't want to do what God wanted her to do. So don't come and tell me, I wouldn't have been saved two weeks. I don't care. God wanted to use you the second you got saved. Amen? You can tear down strongholds all day long, but if a spirit needs to be driven out, it will keep working against you to rebuild those strongholds. Once again, Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We read these before, read it again. And John 10:10 says, a thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What did Satan do to Jesus right after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you are the Son of God. You know, go back and see what Satan did to Jesus right after the Holy Spirit, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me ask you this. So you like being religious? How come Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Spirit before he started his ministry? Amen. After he got baptized, his ministry started and John stopped. He had to get baptized, and he had to be walking in the Spirit in order to do the works for the Father. I don't believe in all that junk. I don't care. It's not my word. It's God's word. He wrote the book. I did not. I don't believe you have to do all that stuff to worship the Father. Well, that's okay. You can feel like that if you want to. You know, that's fine. You can do whatever you want to when you walk with God. I'm not trying to tell you how to walk with God. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says. All right? I'm going to say something. I don't want to offend you Afro-American people, okay? But I used to, don't anymore. I used to go into the Afro-American churches and they sing the same songs over, you know, the same phrase over and over and over again. And I would think, why do they have to do that? I would sit there and say, why don't you just quit singing? I'm being honest now, okay? Now I understand why they do that. They love the Lord, they're in the Spirit, and they're just, you know, they're caught up in the Spirit, and that's why they do that. At least that's what I feel like they're doing. But see, I was there and I was judging them. I thought, they don't have to do all this to be praising the Lord. See? Yeah, they did. Because that's a culture to begin with, you know. Come on. You know what? We should have learned how to sing out in the cotton fields, shouldn't we, the white people? We wouldn't be in such bondage. I'm serious as a heart. You know, I'm just serious. If we would just quit judging other people and we would just start loving each other, this accuser thing couldn't even come around because he would have no place in us. Well, I don't like the way you dance. I don't like the way you sing. I don't like the way you wear your hair. I don't like the way clothes you wear. See, you know, all that kind of stuff is gets that accusing spirit to work. Come on. I don't like the way you jerk your hand or jerk your head. Well, then don't look at me. You know, that's what you tell. Well, don't look at me then. Come on. Well, I don't like the way so-and-so falls out in the Spirit. Well, that's your problem, not theirs. They're having a good time, you know. If we would just love one another and be concerned about one another, quit nitpicking each other, the accuser would have no place in us, and we'd be happy, happy, happy people. I was reading about one church, and this pastor said, we had the best church in the world. There's none of this backbiting, none of this strife, none of this stuff. You know, we're just happy people. And then he says, and we're going to keep it that way too. It's a big church. I forget where it was at. So, they don't allow no strife, no backbiting, no discord of any type. It's love, love, love. God's love. And they're all happy. They just all get in their work together. He was bragging about a church. He said, I have the best church. They walk, everybody walks in unity in here. I forgot 2,000 people. Wouldn't it be wonderful to say you had people, 2,000 people, and you all walked in unity? Come on. It can be done. And then we this accusing spirit has lost his job. And he can go down there to the fishing pond and work with the fish, right? And not with us. Isn't that right? I think what we all need to do this Christmas is send each other a little love note saying, I really love you, and if I've done anything to offend you, please forgive me. We're going to go into this new year just full of love and just full of unity, and we're just going to have a good time. I'm not going to worry about whether your hair is messed up or whether you wear red lipstick or pink lipstick. Or I don't care, you know, if you smack me in the head with your flag or what you do. We're just going to enjoy God, right? I can't believe how messed up people got because somebody got hit in the head with a flag. Good grief. Well, you know, they put that flag around your head. I said, I don't care. I can move. Y'all don't understand. When I swirled around my head a couple of times, I just felt the glory of God. I really did. You know? If we quit saying, well, you sat in my seat. That was my seat. You knew when I got through dancing, I was going to sit in that seat. We didn't engrave anybody's name on any seat. All right? Come on. See, I'm just trying to get you to understand. To think. Think about what you're doing in the body of Christ. Is that how you live at home? You know? It has to be because you're bringing it into the church. When I was growing up, my stepmother took a nail and she made a seat out of tin plates, you know, pipe plates. Took a nail and hammered our plates on the table. Had her name written in it, you know, and we had to set the, and then when it was too eating, we had to get a bucket of water and wash our plates up real clean. But they stayed right there, and this is where you sat. Nobody went, sat in your place. Nobody ate out of your dish because it's nailed to the table. You know. She poured potato soup in our little tin pans, and they ate steak or chicken, whichever. Her and her five, I think she had. Daddy's first six, I turned, did that. But see, I didn't care. I just wanted something to eat. Amen. You know, we just have to quit. We need to become human. We're too caught up in the things of the world. That's the way the world acts. Unless you start loving one another. Things are going to get worse before they get better. And if we don't have to get, God's trying to get us together. If we don't have it together now, I don't know what's going to happen to us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know God's getting ready to drop the glory in here. And I can't hardly wait for that. But while I'm waiting for that, I got to do this, you know. Because don't you want the glory just to fall so hard that the people, you have to drag them out of the doorway. And nobody does nothing but lay and laugh and carry on for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Yeah. And the glory of God comes down and heaven comes down. And God just takes us up into heaven and reveals things to us. And we come back and try to keep ourselves under control so we can write a book. Amen. Right? Come on. You know what, guys, if this used to happen in the days of old, why can't it happen? And I'm not talking about Old Testament. I'm talking about right here in this earth in the days of old for people my age, you know, being caught up in the spirit for 2, 3 days, you know, and stuff like that. Why can't it happen today? It can. But way back then, they weren't backbiters. They weren't whoremongers. You see what I'm saying? They lived decent, whole lives. And this is what God, I know through these teachings, he's trying to get our lives cleaned up so that we are living decent, whole lives so he can put his glory in us so he can use us as vessels of honor. Now, are you ready to tell this accuser of the brethren to get lost? Are you ready to tell him there's no more room in the inn? Are you ready to tell him that everything that he's accusing you of is under the blood? Then get up here and get it out. Get it taken care of tonight. You know, guys, you say, well, nobody's done as bad a sin as I have. But sin is sin in God's eyes. He doesn't care how big or how little sin is sin.